If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I would like to begin with I'll just read two verses of Scripture. I encourage you to go home and read this entire chapter, but I would like to read now from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The Word of God says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Before we begin to endeavor to study in His holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that we have to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, we know that we can't draw the next breath. We know that we will not continue to live without Thy sustaining grace, and we pray that You would forgive us when we begin to do things without asking for Your help. We pray that You would forgive us when we begin a day without asking for Your help. We need Your help. As the songwriter said, "I need Thee every hour. We need Thee every moment. We need Thee all the time." And we pray that You would help us all as we begin a new week, that You would guide us and direct us by Your Spirit, that You would help us to know and to do the things that would be pleasing to Thee. We thank You again, Lord, for Your bountiful blessings in our lives. We know that we cannot begin to count them all, but we do know that we have so many things that are vividly upon our minds of the great power of God and the love of God, Your goodness and mercy and grace that's been shed abroad in our hearts and minds. We pray again that as we begin this week, that You'd help us to reevaluate our own lives, that You'd help us to consider ourselves and examine our ways, that we might know the things that You would have for us to do instead of walking in our own will and our own way. We pray that You would show us the works that You have for us to do each day, and that You would give us the strength and grace that we need to do those things that are pleasing in Thy sight. Pray again now that You would help us as we study Thy holy word, that Thy Spirit would be our teacher, Thou guide us and direct us into all truth. We also ask Thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that there are many who stand in great need of Thy help, and we ask Thee as the great physician to touch their bodies and strengthen them and lift them up and bless their families with the grace that they need. Guide and direct the doctors and nurses in all the decisions that they make. Bless the medication and all that's given to them that it would be for their good. Lord, You know the needs of every person here tonight. You know the needs of each individual and each family, and we pray that You would bless us all, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. Bless us now as we try to study Thy holy word. Be our teacher, we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the church at Corinth here, he says that I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. There are things that God has prepared. I want you to remember that last expression. There are things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And I believe that even though that God has prepared eternal heaven, and there are many things that we have prepared for us when this world is over, I don't believe that that's what this is talking about, but rather that there are things that God has prepared for us right now while we're living. There are things that God has prepared for God's obedient children. And that's who we're talking about. Whenever we talk about those that love Him, we're talking about those that love Him and they prove their love for Him by keeping His commandments. And God has prepared great things for them that love Him. But they're not things that you can see with your natural eyes. He says that God has prepared, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Now, so we're talking about invisible things. We're not talking about God has prepared you some big bank account or a big house or natural blessings. We're not talking about that. God's Word is not talking about natural things, but it's talking about invisible things, things that you cannot see, and yet the things that you cannot see are of more value than anything that you can see in this world. God has prepared great things for them that love Him, even though you cannot see them. You remember Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, the Word of God makes this statement that where there is no vision, what happens to the people? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, the vision that we need is spiritual vision. Without spiritual vision, we cannot see the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. We know that our natural eyes are always looking at things. They're sometimes looking at things that they ought not to look at. When David went up on the housetop that night and his eyes saw Bathsheba, in that moment he began to look at things that he ought not to look at. Whenever Eve began to look at that tree that was in the Garden of Eden that God had told them not partake of that tree, when she began to look at that tree and long for the things that were there, it was in that moment that even though she had natural vision, that her natural vision led to them perishing. And our natural vision can hinder our spiritual growth if we're using our natural eyes to look at the things that can be seen, and then our hearts and our affections began to be greater for things that are seen than our hearts are for things that cannot be seen. And God's Word here is saying that God has prepared wonderful things for those that love Him, but the things that God has prepared for us are things that cannot be seen with the natural eye. And so it is with the spiritual eye, we're able to see some of the things that God has prepared for His obedient children. Go with me to 2 Corinthians as the Word of God here begins to go into a little more detail about some of the things that God has prepared for them that love Him, things that the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, but they are things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Look in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. The Word of God talks about how we face troubles and problems in our lives. And as we look around us, sometimes we become weak and weary and faint because we look, what are we looking at? We're looking at the things that can be seen. We're looking at the troubles. We're like Peter when he got out of the ship and was walking on the water, and he looked and he began to see the waves were boisterous round about him. And that's what we sometimes look at, is we look at things that can be seen instead of looking at things which cannot be seen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church of God at Corinth and telling them that they were going to have troubles and problems in their lives, and if they looked at those troubles, they would not be able to serve the Lord. Look beginning in verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, the Word of God says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now, until you get to be about 40 or 45 or 50 years old, you don't realize all the depth of this scripture. But as you get older, you begin to realize that the outward man is perishing. And that's not all that Paul's talking about here. He's not talking just about you getting old and your eyesight begins to fail and your body begins to get weaker. Rather, it's talking about that as Christians who serve God, that there are times that they are persecuted and there are times that they are beaten, that they were being beaten in the days of the Apostle Paul. Paul himself was being beaten. And Paul is saying, even though they kill my body, yet I will continue to trust in the Lord. And so the Scripture says here that though our outward man perish, yet the inward man... Can any of you show me your outward man? Can you show me your outward man? Can you show me your inward man? Okay, very good, very good. The answer is no, you cannot with your... you can't show me with your... I can't see your inward man with my natural eyes. I cannot see your inward man. But I have eyes that I see your inward man. And you have eyes, spiritual eyes, that you can see the inward man and others of God's children. And there are so many times as we go about our lives, brethren, that we need to thank God that we can see the inward man of other children of God. That we see the Spirit of God that dwells in them. One of the most wonderful things, brethren, is to see people that have great afflictions and troubles and problems. There are people in the nursing home that though their bodies may be twisted and bent and unable to walk, and yet, brethren, you can look in their eyes and you can see Christ in them. You can see the inward man, that though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That inward man, something that cannot be seen, is something that's growing stronger even in the midst of all the afflictions and troubles of life. Brethren, when the people of God are loving God, they're going to suffer afflictions. They're going to suffer persecution. They're going to be occasionally put in prison. They may be put to death. But they can say, as Paul did in 1 Corinthians 2, and right here in 2 Corinthians 4, he can say, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And then in verse 17 he says, for our light affliction... You read about Paul's afflictions. You read about him, his persecutions. You read about the stripes that they put upon him. You read about all the trouble that he went through in his life. And would you call those light afflictions that Paul describes in the Scriptures? I wouldn't call them light afflictions. They were heavy afflictions. Anyone that watched him go through all that he went through would declare, that man has suffered greatly as a Christian, and yet Paul says, our light affliction. What is it that causes the afflictions and problems of life to seem light? It's whenever that inward man is growing stronger and stronger. When the inward man can feel the presence and the power of God, then the inward man can declare and shout, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Show me that power. You can't see that power. Show me the love. Show me a sound mind. You can't see those things. But God has prepared great things like power and love and of a sound mind. God has prepared great things for them that what? For them that love Him. If you're loving Him, you're going to feel the power and the presence and the love of God. So he says in verse 18, after he says in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not... You listen carefully now. What does 1 Corinthians 2:9 say? I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. He says that these afflictions, doesn't matter how big or strong the afflictions are, they're like afflictions while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now what do we need to be looking at in our lives today? We need to be looking at eternal things. Well, show me those eternal things. Show me a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I'm telling you, brethren, you can't see the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And again, I'm not talking about something when this world is over, but rather I'm talking about the bountiful blessings that God gives to His people today while we are loving Him. He gives us great blessings which cannot be seen with the natural eye. Go with me to Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11 just a moment. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. What is faith? Let's begin right here in Hebrews chapter 11. We're thinking about the text and trying to look at the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that says, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And Hebrews chapter 11, we find a number of different people that loved God. And they proved their love for God, didn't they? Did Noah prove his love for God? Did Abraham prove his love for God? And Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and all these listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they all proved their love for God. Let me mention this. The statement in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that says, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him," that statement did not begin to be true in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It is a statement that has always been true. If you go back into the Old Testament, for example, you'll find in Isaiah 64, I believe, you'll find that the Word of God declares there almost a direct, in fact, it is, this in 1 Corinthians 2:9 is a quote, I believe, from Isaiah chapter 64. What's the point? The point is, back there in Isaiah's day, they knew this truth. "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." Isaiah loved God. Abraham loved God. Noah loved God. What is faith? You see, it's through the eye of what? It's through the eye of faith that we see those things that are under consideration in 1 Corinthians 2:9. You cannot see the things that are described in 1 Corinthians 2:9. You cannot see them unless you have faith. What is faith? Look in your Bibles now. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Look at the definition of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Did Abraham see some things that could not be seen? Did Noah see some things that could not be seen? Listen to what verse 7 says first. Look at verse 7. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things," what? "Not seen as yet." Now, but by the way, there are things that are not seen that are not good, and there are things that are not seen that are good. Okay, just and right now in Hebrews 11, 7, Abraham saw some things that could not be seen. What were the things that Abraham could see that he had not yet seen? What was the specific thing he was looking for? No, I'm sorry. I said Abraham, and you're correct on Abraham. What did Noah? What does verse 7 mean when it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet"? What were the things?
Rain.
Yes, the rain, the flood. He was warned of things that were not seen as yet. Now remember now, this is not a blessing. This is a cursing that was coming. And yet Noah saw the cursing that was coming before the curse ever got there. And so it is that Noah, who knew the flood was coming and was warned of God, he still moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He had a vision in his mind of having an ark that would help him and his family in the time of the flood. He had a vision of the ark. That was something not seen as yet. And he prepared that ark, which he had not yet seen. He prepared that ark because he had, through the eye of faith, he had seen some things that had not been seen, which is the flood. It may be confusing, but I know what I'm talking about. All right, let's go to something easier to explain. Go to verse 8. Verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went." Was Abraham going out? And was he going to a place where he knew he was going to? He didn't know where he was going. God called him to go out and he went. He didn't know where he was going, but he went. Verse 10 says that he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Was Abraham looking for a city? Was he looking for a city? That city is a city that cannot be seen with the natural eye. I have not seen, neither has ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Abraham loved God. God prepared for him a city. And he went out looking for that city. And he died. Verse 13, look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Listen, was Abraham looking for a city? The Scripture says here, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." Did Abraham have a vision of what it was he was looking for? He was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And yet, Abraham died without having received the promise. Isaac died without ever having received the promise. Jacob died without ever having received the promises. In fact, all of these people in Hebrews chapter 11, they all died without ever seeing that city that they were looking for. But they are now in that city. If you'll keep following Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, you'll find that they are now in that city. Because they proved their love for God, they're in that city today. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 27. Hebrews 11. Do you see that Abraham was looking for something that couldn't be seen with a natural eye? Come down to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. We talk about Moses. The Word of God here talks about Moses. In Hebrews 11, verse 27, the Word of God says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible." My brethren, anybody that is just going to think with their natural mind is going to think, that sentence doesn't make any sense at all. He saw him who is invisible. Did Moses really see him who is invisible? Who is he who is invisible that Moses saw? It was God, the Lord of glory, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Abraham went out. Abraham was willing to leave Egypt because he went out as seeing him who is invisible. "I have not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." What would you say, listen carefully, what would you say is the most wonderful thing that God has prepared that you cannot see? What is the most wonderful thing that God has prepared for them that love Him? Now don't answer the kingdom yet. We'll get to that. But in Hebrews 11, 27, what is the most wonderful blessing that you cannot see that God blesses you to see when you love Him? What is the most wonderful blessing? It's even greater than the kingdom now. It's even greater than the kingdom. What is it that's greater than the kingdom? That's right. It's the King. It's God. You know, sometimes we talk about how God rewards His people. Hebrews 11 says that without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God rewards His people, and there are many different rewards that God gives to His people that diligently seek Him. But did you know that the greatest reward of all, and it is an invisible reward, the greatest reward that God ever gives His people is God Himself. He is our. The Scripture says that God is our exceeding great reward. That's what the Word of God says, is that He is our exceeding great reward. Have you ever seen God? You know what I'm talking about now when I say, have you ever seen God? You have never seen God with these eyes right here. But I hope that you have seen God with the spiritual eyes that God has given you. Because that's one of the things that God has prepared for them that love Him, is to be able to see God. That's what Moses saw. He saw the Lord. He saw Him who is invisible. He saw God. And in seeing God, he found the strength and grace to leave Pharaoh's house and everything else. One of the songs that we sometimes sing is, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus and the things of this what? And the things of this earth will world will grow strangely dim." You see, what happens when you see these great things that God has prepared for them that love Him? All the things of the world become nothing when you see the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12. "Wherefore laying aside all, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." What are the next three words? Looking unto Jesus. Can you look to Jesus? Can you look to Jesus? Can you see Him? Can you see Him who is invisible? Can you see Jesus? Not with these eyes you can't, but with the eye of faith you can see Jesus. And without looking to Jesus, without looking to God, you will not be able to make it in this world. Unless God blesses you to see Him who cannot be seen with the natural eye, you will not be able to go forward in this life. We need what is described in 1 Corinthians 2:9 when the Scripture says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Go with me to John chapter 14 just a moment. Back up in your Bibles to John chapter 14. The Word of God in John chapter 14. Listen to verses 15 and 16. Now we're talking now, is there something for you to do? Is there something for you to do in order to receive these things that God has prepared for them that love Him? For them that hope, that what? That love Him. That's people that are loving Him. Do you know how I can tell? You know how God tells? You know how you can tell if you love God? How can you tell if you love God? Right here. John 14, listen to verse 15. Jesus says, "If ye love me," what? "Keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Have you ever had the Comforter come and abide with you? Can you see the Comforter? Who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. Verse 26 says, the Comforter, which is the what? Which is the Holy Spirit of the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So God says, and Jesus, who is God in the flesh, says in John 14, verse 15, says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He'll give you the Holy Spirit." Come down to verse 21. Verse 21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him," listen carefully, "and will manifest myself to him." You know what that word manifest means? Show. That's exactly right. I'll show myself to him. If a man loves me and keeps my commandments, I'm going to show myself to him. "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And in closing, let me mention two scriptures. First of all, Luke 17. Everybody turn in your Bibles very quickly to Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Luke chapter 17, Jesus, the 12 apostles, the 70 disciples, Philip, Andrew, every single preacher in the New Testament, they all preached about the kingdom of heaven. They all focused on the kingdom of heaven. They did not focus on the eternal heaven. They focused on the kingdom of heaven. And if we're focusing on eternal heaven today in our preaching or teaching, if that's what we're focusing on, we're missing the whole point of the New Testament. That is not what we're to be looking at. We're to be looking at something God has prepared called the kingdom of heaven, which God has prepared for them that are loving Him, them that love Him. Look now at Luke 17, verse 20. After Jesus and all these others had been preaching about the kingdom of heaven, when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, why do you think they demanded Him to tell Him when the kingdom of God should come? Well, because starting with John the Baptist began preaching, and he said, "Repent, for what? The kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. And then Jesus began to preach in Matthew 4:17. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And He sent out the 12 apostles, and they were told to go and to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For 3 years now, everyone who has preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Pharisees wanted to know, where is this kingdom of heaven? We don't see any kingdom. Luke 17, verse 20, "And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation.'" What does that mean, "it cometh not with observation"? It means you can't see it with your natural eyes. Look now at verse 21. "The word of God says, 'Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" Now, show me the kingdom of heaven. All this New Testament that concentrates on the kingdom of heaven, show it to me. Give me the definition. What is the definition? The kingdom of heaven is, say it again, righteousness and what? Peace and what? Joy. Show me a little righteousness, if you will. Show me a little peace. Brother David, you're a smart man. Show me a little peace. You can't see peace, can you? Can you see joy? Can you tell me what value $1 million is and all the gold and silver and all the other little pieces you can come up with? Can you tell me what value those pieces are, those P-I-E-C-E-S of this world, if you don't have the P-E-A-C-E in your soul? Of what value are all the other things in this world? Naught. Zero. I've seen some of the richest people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. I've talked to some of them who are multimillionaires. And they say, I've heard some of them say, "I would give everything I own to have some peace in my soul." Now that's sad. That's sad. To not have peace in your soul. "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." If you want to feel the righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Ghost, then you have to love Jesus. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ.